We are back here on the morning shift, getting you set for the wake-up call. You can call us at 404-726-0929 if you have thoughts on my victory of which one's which one Wednesday.
Come back. Come back when.
You can weigh in.
Yeah, or you have to pay a lot of taxes on that victory.
You can give us your thoughts on the biggest threat the Cowboys might pose to the Falcons this weekend.
You know, I've had a couple people hit me up talking about the Georgia, you know, do you want to play in the SEC title game? Do you want to get the first round playoff game at home? And what it comes down to, I think, is are you guaranteed a slot, depending on who you play in the SEC title game, and who would the opponent be in the 12 seed if you are the 5 seed with the home game? And it just, there's differing opinions. And Garrett walked in. He's like, I mean, who are you going to get? You know, maybe you get like a Boise or an Army. And I'm like, dude, I don't know if you want the smoke from either one of those teams.
I don't know if you want them either.
Like, nah, that's not discrediting Georgia. I'm just saying the preparation and the toll it's going to take with two teams like that coming in and giving you your best shot on a Saturday night in the middle of December, cold. I don't know. I might, if that's what I know is going to happen, I might play in the SEC championship game in the bins and try to get that thing situated and get that first round bye and head on to post-Christmas.
Mike, so. But also think about path to a semifinal here. So it's like if you're going to play in a quarterfinal game after that, if you're in the quarters, after you get that first round bye, you're going to be playing somebody like Texas maybe. Maybe you're going to be playing Tennessee. Whereas if you get that 5 seed, then you're going to be playing a BYU or somebody, the lowest rated conference champion who pushed through.
Yeah, but you only have to win one game.
You're automatically easiest, there.
Easiest path to the semifinal. I mean, you're just winning that game and you're there. So I don't know, man. I think it's different strokes.
Also get to choose where you play. So you don't undersell the importance of the bye. And if you're a high seed, you get to choose what bowl game you want to go to. Now the 1 seed will get to pick the 2, but there's a really good chance Georgia is going to be playing here in Atlanta, and then they're going to turn around. And if they win that, they would get to play the championship game here. So
this is way off topic, but everything that you say, I envision it in dad mode now. Now, wait a minute, guys.
Oh, man.
Guys, listen up. Or let me tell you something. Well, to be honest with you. And so I just feel like you're practicing all those. Because my dad had those one-liners that he always says, like, well, what you need to do is. It's ingrained in my head.
Let me be honest with you.
Donnie,
let me tell you
come
something.
On.
His is definitely, let me tell you something.
My dad would be like, no, Bo, why don't you sit down? Let me tell you a little story right here. Yeah. And
that
then
is,
30
is...
minutes later, you've gotten one piece of advice.
This is you. All right, let's go to the lines.
You know what? I don't like you today, Tiffany.
I'm good. Let's go to the lines. We got Sarah. Let's go to Sarah in Cleveland, Georgia. Good morning.
Guys.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, good morning. Okay, so I'm a season ticket holder. This was my thing with my dad when we were younger. We had tickets at the Georgia Dome when Michael Vick was the quarterback every season, so this has been a lifelong thing for me. This is the first year I've had tickets. I've been to nearly every home game, and as you guys know, we don't do too great at home. So that's one of the biggest threats to me is how are we going to play, because we look great when I'm watching on Fox at home. But when we get in the bins and I'm there screaming, you know, it seems like for some reason we can't get it going.
That's a good call.
Just for whatever reason.
Yeah, good call.
I appreciate the call.
I will say this. The last home game the Falcons played in the bins, two weeks ago? That they were just sleepwalking through? Yeah, 2 weeks ago. I'm starting to lose track of it right now.
Last week was on the road.
Yeah. So the whole stadium sleptwalked through that entire game, right? And I think the Falcons felt – I will be curious, first of all, what the percentages are. And I talked about this in the postgame a little bit. Cowboys fans as opposed to Falcons fans. If you're a Falcons fan and you have tickets, rise up, literally. Get in that stadium, get
there
early.
That's what worries me. It's going to be full of Cowboys
fans.
Well,
that's always the concern,
Cowboys
right?
Fans,
so don't get rid of your tickets or whatever. Make sure we're packing that thing out because hopefully we can get a big dub at home. And the second thing is that, you know, you got to come to play as well. We got to get some fireworks going early, and hopefully that's on our side of things. We can get it going. So there's a couple of different things, but I think Sarah brings up a good point. Why are we seem to play so much better on the road at this point than we do at home? I can't figure that out.
Well, it's not a bad thing that you play well on the road.
It's not sustainable, though.
It's really not. I think... No, I don't think it is, but I also think, you know, you've only played three road games, and you've played, five home games, and you're 2-3 in those. I wonder if that's some of it, that the sample size right now.
Sure.
I think maybe when it – the problem, and to her point, the problem that you have is you now have to do on the road what you – what was the old saying? Is you win all your home games and you go .500 on the road, yep, and you're a playoff team.
That's Mike Smith.
You're almost at the point now where you have to win all your road games and split on at home.
It's so true.
And
so true.
That's not an easy thing to do.
No.
I'll tell you that you look at the schedule and your toughest road game left would be Minnesota and Washington.
I was going to say, those are two pretty tough ones.
Followed in third place, a close third, would be Denver. Because I think New Orleans is a hard place to play, but if you look at the team, it's not as hard of a team. However, it is a rivalry game. So this is Sarah's right, this is a crucial home game.
Isn't it funny that before the season we looked at those three and thought, oh, three rookie quarterbacks, no, those aren't going to be an issue. That's not good.
Let's go back to the lines. We got Menti in his 18-wheeler.
There he is. What up?
Yes, yes, everyone. How is everything? It is so nice to talk to you guys again. I've been listening, but because of work from time to time, I just couldn't call.
Yeah, work
I would
happens.
Just like to take this moment out to congratulate Bo and his wife on their expecting.
Nice.
Nice work. I appreciate you, sir.
Nice work.
Yes, sir. I hope and pray you have a little girl with your disposition. I think that would be so perfect in the universe if you just got that right there, Bo. I think your world and the rest of us would have something very, very polite to see.
Put that hate
so
on me.
So good, Minty.
Don't you put that hate on
yes.
me.
Yes.
Also, I remember, you know, sometimes your daddy had these old box Lincolns, and he'll go out from time to time. He'd come back and he'd beat branches in the grill. And a couple of times, you know, he might have a little fur or some blood on the bumper. He's like, Daddy, what happened? He's like, I don't know. I don't know nothing. And then you look at the dash cam, you find out your daddy done rode over a deer or something like that. Dallas Cowboys will not get another championship in Jerry Jones' life.
Because
he has nobody around him to say, Daddy, I need to take your keys from you.
I see where you're going.
As brilliant as a businessman as Jerry Jones is, he is equally as terrible a general manager. And if it's not obvious to the rest of Cowboys Nation and everybody standing around him, y'all just I just look and laugh at them every week, Dallas Cowboys fans, as they have that blank stare on their face.
They
like,
do.
It's, nobody saw this coming. Yeah,
no, it's rough. It's rough.
It
can be rough.
I can 100% agree with that. He has drafted a lot of really, really, really good players. The problem for me will always be who he puts at the head of the organization as the head coach.
Bad.
And
it's
he
been bad.
Because the one thing Jerry does, I know we got to get the break because we got Jeff Howell coming up from The Athletic. But the one thing that Jerry does is put a guy in that he thinks he can control. He refuses to not. And all that came from what happened with Jimmy Johnson. The one time he did was with Bill, and they were rebuilding then.
All right, when we come back here, we've got NFL National Insider for The Athletic, Jeff Howell, joining us here on The Morning Shift. We'll be right back on Sports Radio 92.9. The game this hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We are back here on The Morning Shift and going straight to the wadefort.com hotline. That is where we find NFL National Insider for The Athletic, Jeff Howell, joining us here on the show. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, how we doing?
Good. Good to have you with us. Just looking at one of your numerous articles, but you had some trade grades going on with all the trades going on before the NFL trade deadline on November 5th. And we could start with the Ravens there, because now they've got Deontay Johnson in that trade from the Panthers. They're trying to load up, right? That's what you have in your headline.
Yeah, they needed a boost at that number two receiver spot, or at least a little more depth there. I mean, they temporarily lost Zay Flowers last week, and probably had some nightmares of what life would be like without him if he ever went down for an extended period of time. So getting Deontay Johnson sort of reinforces that depth chart, and they paid minimal to do it. I mean, they're going to pay the balance of his salary. It's going to be like $3.5 million the rest of the way or something thereabout. And all they had to do was basically drop back, what, 15, maybe 20 spots in the draft, depending on the compensatory formula, just to bring him in. I mean, Johnson hasn't been a perfect player in his career, but at his best, he's been a big-time playmaker and, you know, just another piece that could help the Ravens get over the hump.
Jeff, where does this leave Carolina, though? I mean, it feels like you start trading away pieces like this, and it's starting to feel like that maybe you're hitting the reset button all over again. Bryce Young obviously benched. They are going to, looks like, have a high draft slot. What do you think about the immediate future and the long-term future of Carolina after this move?
I wouldn't say they're hitting the reset button again. I think they've been sitting on it for about 3 years. So this, it doesn't really help. You know, I understand why they did it because in this, it's not for the draft pick. I mean, again, you're talking about like the difference between a late fifth and an early sixth. That's not a whole lot there. But you do save about $3.5 million, which you can roll into the offseason. And that's not a huge amount of money. It's not going to get you a star receiver or anything like that. But you know, every little bit helps when you're really at the bottom of the barrel in terms of what you're trying to accomplish roster-wise. You know, the other concern is, depending on what their plan is for Bryce Young over the final couple months of the season, I mean, I know he was back in there because of Andy Dalton's thumb injury. I don't know how long that's going to last or what they plan to do when Dalton's eventually healthy enough to start. But, like, let's say Bryce Young does get a handful of more starts down the stretch. Taking quality receivers away from him isn't really going to help his development. Now, unless there's something going on behind the scenes in the locker room and they decided that Johnson just wasn't worth having there, then, you know, I would understand that aspect of it. But when you've got a young quarterback, whether it's Bryce Young or Drake May or what have you, you know, a guy who is not necessarily in that Jaden Daniels spot where you have a chance to cruise to the playoffs, you know, you need help around him. Is it really worth trying to accumulate all those Saturday draft picks over the next several days? When you're diminishing what you have around these young guys who you're trying to develop, and that should take precedent over every decision you're trying to make right now.
Jeff, with the trade deadline, what, next Wednesday at 4 o'clock, what are some we're a pass rush deficient team. We do have Matthew Judon. And we got him, obviously, via trade before the season started, as you know. But what guys are out there that could help a defense in the pass rush category?
I think Za'Darius Smith is one who is probably the best pass rusher who's going to end up getting moved. I mean, there's, you know, Max Crosby, but the Raiders keep saying, you know, they'll tell anybody who will listen that they're not going to move him. And I would guess, this is just my own read, like Crosby's not going anywhere for probably less than two first-round picks. So you can probably take him off the board. You got to wonder about Hassan Reddick. Would he be available? I think he would be a good addition just because, you know, he's a guy who has had some postseason success, has played at a higher level with the Philadelphia Eagles, and has been on a pretty good run with the exception of this season for a few years. But, you know, I was asking around yesterday, and it's expected to be quiet now through Sunday night with maybe a little more activity because, you know, at this point, the teams buying are offering up Saturday picks. The teams selling want early Friday picks. And it's going to take a deadline to spur a little more action.
Hanging out with Jeff Howe, NFL writer for The Athletic. Jeff, I'm gonna praise a little bit, and then I'm gonna hold your feet to the fire. I love your quarterback ranking. Yeah. I love your quarterback rankings, man. I always feel like I'm decently in line with kind of your thought process on how things are ranked, and you know who's kind of at the top. I did have a problem this week though. You had Kirk Cousins last week at 16. This week he slides back behind Dak Prescott at 17. Now, I personally think that Kirk had one of his better games of the season, yet he slides in the ranking. Maybe it has a little bit more to do with other quarterbacks going on, but how do you see Kirk Cousins' season? Why do you have him back at 17, and what do you think the rest of the season looks like for a guy like Kirk?
No, that's certainly a fair question, and I'm not surprised to get a little pushback on that one. I mean, Kirk Cousins is playing better. He's on an upward trajectory. I think the last time we spoke, I was a lot more concerned about where he was in terms of his ability to trust the Achilles and to kind of read the field and deliver throws with confidence. He's certainly doing a better job of that now. There's just tough pockets of quarterbacks in some of these rankings. You know, sometimes it's in that sort of mid-range 16 neighborhood. You know, sometimes it's in the 20s. There are other times, you know, 6 to 8 has been a battle. And I got people screaming at me a couple of weeks ago that Jared Goff was 8 and now he's 6. And it's, you know what, like the gap between 6 to 8 is actually, that's a pretty damn group of players. Yeah. There's no shame being up there. You know, more directly or more specifically with Kirk Cousins, you know, he dropped back, which, you know, it's weird when a guy plays well and they drop back a spot. It's usually more about the other players. I think Jalen Hurts is starting to play better. So he was one of the guys who moved up. And you've just got a sort of a crowded area that I've had for several weeks where you got Kyler Murray there at 12, down to about Kirk Cousins. You know, Matt Stafford is sitting there right behind him, and he had a rough go of it for a little while. But, yeah, I mean, I certainly get it. But, like, this is like a – it's the type of situation where I think if you look at that pocket between 12 and 17, you could make a case for those guys to go in any one of those spots. So – I get, like, the optics of falling back despite playing well. It's just some of these decisions are a little tougher, a little more, you know, quirky.
Fair enough.
Hey, Jeff, Kyle Pitts is, I think, having possibly his best four-game stretch of his career. After going catchless against New Orleans, he's had 21 catches for over 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns. How is he viewed nationally? Because I think a lot of fans here are kind of – it's a mixed bag with him.
Yeah, it's about the same. They're just like the, you know, people around the league are just like the rest of us. We're all just sort of waiting for Kyle Pitts to show what we thought we saw before the draft, and that was elite physical tools and just somebody who, you know, needs a some more of it to come together, just to get to that potentially elite tight end level. He's a guy who has a reputation for you need to get him involved early, or you wonder how involved he's going to be able to stay in the game. As it kind of materializes. So I think that was kind of a big thing for Zach Robinson to do this season, was to try to make sure he gets in some early touches to keep him more engaged. And, I mean, Zach Robinson's a good offensive mind. I think that he's probably the best one that Pitts has had so far in his brief tenure with Atlanta. And I think Robinson is also continuing to find his own voice, his own comfortability in his first chance to have this play calling role outside of the Sean McVay shadow. So, you know, the alignment of two guys who were kind of growing in this together, you know, obviously at different sort of ends of that spectrum, I think that's why you're starting to see it materialize. And then it goes back to Kirk Cousins too, again, becoming more comfortable with the guys around him in the new situation.
Jeff, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about something that made headlines this week, which was Dan Campbell kind of teasing a possible trade for the Lions, enough to make him kind of get some pep in his step while standing at the podium, jumping around. Do you have any thoughts on possibly who could maybe be ending up at the Lions?
I mean, I think it'd be great if it was Max Crosby, but, you know, like we already talked about, I don't think it's realistic that he's going to move at this point. But, yeah, I mean, the way Dan Campbell was jumping around the other day, I thought they were about to acquire Lawrence Taylor, and I'm actually pretty shocked that there wasn't a move yesterday. I mean, that's just – They're so transparent about what they want, about who they want as a player, and they don't shy away from how aggressive they are. You know, you've got Brad Holmes coming from the Rams and the whole, you know, screw the draft picks mantra and all that stuff. And, you know, this is a team that is absolutely primed to win a Super Bowl, and they've been active on the pass rusher front over the last couple weeks. And again, I'm pretty surprised it didn't happen yesterday. I guess it probably comes down to what they were willing to pay and what these teams are kind of holding out for, because pass rushers are always going to draw a premium price, or, as you know, relatively speaking, for trade deadline prices. So you could just have a team that's saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, I know you're a contender. I'm not jumping up and down to try to help you right now. And maybe a guy goes down on Sunday, maybe we can drive the price up around. So I think that's why you're seeing a little bit of a stalemate. There's been a flurry of activity. I want to say about 8 trades over the last 2 or 3 weeks. So it looks like we're set for a potentially wild trade deadline. But I think you usually see this final stretch of about 5 days, you know, before the dust settles on that final Sunday before the trade deadline, where it's just a staring contest and everybody's waiting to see who blinks.
We know you'll be all over it, so I can't wait to see how this all shakes out, Jeff. Thanks so much for joining us.
Of course. Thanks a lot for having me. Appreciate you guys.
That was NFL National Insider for The Athletic, Jeff Howe, joining us here on the morning shift. You can follow him on X at Jeff P. Howe. Stay with us here. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Some steak tips are on the way. next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Going along here on the Morning Shift, I need to give you the floor again, Bo. This time, actually, for a good cause.
Yeah, Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic is November 25th. And that is what, Mike, 27, 28 days away? I don't know. My math's not very good.
he said earlier today, Tiff, he goes, we got 31 days. And I was like, nah, that math ain't mathing, bro. I don't know what you've been looking at. It ain't 31 days away.
There,
we're getting tight.
There are a limited amount of spots left. They, limited. And look, guys, you need to go ahead and sign up as soon as you can because there will be a swag bag that you need to get. And in order to get it properly, you need to sign up so you can get your sizes in. There may or may not be some apparel this year given out just for registering at the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic. Get over to the 92.9 The Game website, go to the event page, and it'll give you all the information to sign up. It is for a good cause, like Tiffany said, Pets for Vets, my favorite charity. So get it signed up today. I know that this guy right here is going to be there.
What you got on the floor there, man? What's that? There's something on the floor. Just, it's a cup.
Well,
of something.
I don't like to have condensation on the console.
Even see it. It's so well
he didn't want to face his demons over there in Tiffany.
I almost went pure turbo coffee. Listen, what do I have to do to have you guys be as excited to see me as you are, Rusty Manziel? Because I'm starting to feel like when Rusty comes in here, there's I think the word is ebullient. Is that a good word?
Wow.
Right?
That's like an Aaron Rodgers word. I don't know, man.
You're like ebullient.
I don't know.
Because he comes
Can
from...
you use smaller words? I don't even know what the hell that means.
It means really excited to see him. This is going to be a great segment. I come in here, it's like, okay, yeah. I mean, it'll be good. Sure. But Rusty's like, we love Rusty.
We can talk to Rusty for days.
It's why they say that for most companies thrive. When you have a true competitor, right? Like now I know that Rusty's in on Thursdays. That's why we were a better radio station 20 years ago when that other station showed up and we just started burying them because we had a competitor.
Yeah.
We had a North Star we wanted to crush, and I don't want to crush Rusty, but it's going to make me take up my game. So
you should want to crush him in this segment. I mean, you're not going to hurt his feelings. He knows competition. He'll step up.
Rusty knows what time it is.
Yeah, so I'm going to make sure that at least I'm at a level of excitement when I walk in. Here's what I want to talk about. Great conversation about Freddie Freeman this morning, especially the highlight was when Dylon laid Bo out just right in the middle of the road and ran him over.
Yeah. I mean, that was, and then he backed up through reverse. Up,
right?
Yeah.
All right, so do you think
the trap, take over your trap.
Do you think that we are unique? And I was thinking about Atlanta in that the absolute iconic – most popular, greatest athletes, most popular athletes, all exited Atlanta, and many in just unbelievably painful fashion. So I think I can say that Deion Sanders, Mike Vick, Matt Ryan, Freddie Freeman, Dominique Wilkins, these are the most popular athletes in the history of Atlanta, right?
I thought Tom Glavine might be on there.
I don't put him at the same level as Chipper. Right, who stayed?
No, but
right?
Chipper stayed. Yeah, but
he's up there. But
when he left, it was painful.
He ain't Deion, brother.
But he went to the Mets.
Okay, but
in his prime.
But think about. Listen, we're the most black city in the NFL, in the NBA, and everything else. So, with all due respect, Deion Sanders and Mike Vick were the perfect two athletes for the perfect city of all time, right?
Yeah, I don't
disagree
with that.
We had prime time of Mike Vick. Now, one guy ends up in federal prison, which is just insane, that our greatest, most popular player. Deion, basically, the Braves helped Deion's exit because they traded him to the Reds. The Falcons didn't like the two-sport thing. The Braves didn't like the two-sport thing. John Schroll's resented Deion, right? So
yeah, that's where it really started.
Right?
Yeah, Schuerholz.
Because you were here. So I was here. It wasn't 94.
Yeah, it was the rub with Schuerholz was deeper than people thought.
Tiffany, we lost Dominique Wilkins and Deion Sanders like in the same year, right?
That's like devastating.
That's just like, that is not how you want it to go, right?
I still remember where I was sitting the moment I heard Dominique Wilkins got traded.
For Danny Manning. Now, Stan Kasten, listen, I've been doing some research. They're like, Dominique Wilkins traded in the prime of his career, same as Deion. Slow your roll. Deion was in his fifth year and about to go win Super Bowls in San Francisco, Dallas, and Baltimore. Dominique was 12 years in and was never a factor in the NBA again. He ends up in Boston on a playoff team with the Celtics that was horrible. He ends up in Greece. He ends up in Orlando. He ends up in San Antonio.
What hurt about Dominique being traded was the year the Hawks were having.
Yes. They were number one seed.
I think they won 50 games that year. That was unheard of for us, the Hawks. Yeah,
Dylon, look up 1994 Hawks. I think we were a one seed,
yeah,
and we lost in the first round, maybe to the Miami Heat.
More recent history. Did we lose Matt Ryan and Freddie Freeman in the same year? Was that the same year?
Great question.
Garrett's saying it is the same year.
That's the couple of MVPs.
I mean, you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Cool. So Freddie leaves in the most normal form of. I know you don't like how it plays out, but at least it wasn't as bizarre as the Dion baseball. Brett Favre also was an Atlanta Falcon that got traded. You know, we all know that he was Buckhead Brett, which is like, we can't keep this kid's head on straight, right?
Also, yes, Steak, you were right. 57-25, that 94 Hawks team did finish first in the East.
Yeah, number one seed in the East, trades away the greatest player in franchise history while you are the top seed for a soft NBA player in Phoenix named Danny Manning, who they're like, well, Danny Manning's 6 years younger. He's going to re-sign.
These are the Clippers then, yeah.
And then he sees it ends, and he's like, right, so the Clippers. And he goes, I'm not re-signing. I'm going out west. I don't like it in Atlanta.
So you
get nothing.
Yeah, it was awful.
You get nothing.
And you blew the season.
So, listen, I was trying to think about, are there most cities? I mean, listen, most cities, guys aren't lifers. But boy, did Atlanta have to deal with a combination of just like losing their guys, right?
Yeah.
Dale Murphy leaves on the back end of his career, which
traded to the Phillies.
Yeah, a little more. Yeah, that was painful.
There's been
a
lot of back end, like to your point, Tom Glavin, John Smoltz. There's been a lot of back end of the career moves that you're like, God, I hate this.
I mean, Matt
Julio
Ryan
Jones.
Yeah.
But I mean, who is it? Listen, that's more normal. That's more normal.
Yeah, it's back in.
Matt Ryan gets railroaded for Deshaun Watson. Deion Sanders basically says Rankin Smith and the Falcons will never win. And by the way, they don't offer me a deal. Dang. And Mike Vick, we know what happened to him. Listen, it hurts. I'm not enjoying watching Freddie Freeman going crazy. enjoying that.
It hurt. When Deion left, it hurt because he went to San Francisco, and that was your rival at the time in the NFC West. And they beat you like a drum every year,
and they
twice
go
a year.
Super Bowl. He went to the Super Bowl there.
Freddie goes to the Evil Empire and the Dodgers now. Yep. That's what I heard about.
Listen, Mike Vick in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
remember when he came in
I
here
do.
And they put Andy Reid puts him in to throw touchdown passes.
Yeah,
that was unfortunate.
Late in the game.
Yeah, it sucked.
You were on the field then.
Yeah, I was.
You were on the field.
Yeah,
Mike Vick was on. Yeah,
well, he wasn't on the field, but he was on the sideline.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I wasn't out in dime defense.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Who was their starter in Philly?
Donovan.
And they put in Mike Vick with their touchdown.
Donovan was still there. They were up there.
Right, we got to go. I don't want to be late for my show.
Anyway.
We got Sandra Golden in the house. The queen is back. Lots to get to. This Freddie conversation. We'll continue to. Why do all nice things leave? Why do they leave us like that? We'll talk about it.
Yeah. All right, that's it for us here in the Morning Shift. Steakhouse is next on Sports Radio 99 The Game.